you would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is God's word. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What will immediately follow these verses is instruction about submitting to government, submitting in marriage, submitting in society to those who are in authority over us. But we do it, all of that submission stuff, we do that on the basis of who we are and what Christ has done for us. So, as the introduction to that, we need to really understand what this is saying about who we are. If you don't know who you are, have you ever seen a news story or maybe a movie or something about somebody who had amnesia? Someone who kind of wakes up in a hospital and they don't know who they are. I have a very dear friend who I've known for years. He was out running as he had so many times. This guy's an Ironman triathlete. And he's a runner, he's a biker, he's a swimmer, he's a true athlete. And he was out running in Atlanta as he had so many times before, and he was struck by a car. I mean, he was in a crosswalk. He had the right of way. And someone who was from out of town and not really paying attention, just kind of trying to look and figure out where am I, made a left-hand turn thinking I've got to beat this car that's coming toward me and didn't notice that someone was in the crosswalk going this way. So she hit him, knocked him through the air, almost killed him. But he woke up at Grady Hospital. And they said, "What is your name?" He thought. It was like, "I don't know." Then he got the name David. He said, "I'm David." And they said, "What's your last name?" "No idea." Didn't know where he lived, didn't know where he was, didn't know Atlanta was Atlanta. He just knew his name was David. That was it. And it was hours before the brain trauma lessened enough for him to be able to say what his last name was. And then they were able to contact his wife. Meanwhile, she's looking frantically for him. But he was in the hospital, didn't know who he was, didn't know why he was there, didn't know how he got there, didn't remember being hit by a car. I mean, it was just... talk about a weakened condition. Well, let me tell you, there are a lot of Christians who seem to have functional amnesia. We forget that we were slaves to sin, that we were in utter bondage, headed for hell, that's what we deserve. And God rescued us by sending his son to die on the cross in our place. Because if you really get a hold of that and begin to believe what God says about who you are in Christ Jesus, and what He intends for you to do with your life, it absolutely changes everything. If you will remember who you are in Christ and what He has done for you, it'll be a lot easier to do these things that He asks you to do. So, let's look. You, verse 9, you are a chosen people. When I was in fourth grade, I was in a new school. I lived miles away from the school. I was brought there by bus, and the school was in the middle of a neighborhood where almost everybody else in the school lived. They all knew each other. I was the outsider. And when it was time to pick teams for kickball, nobody picked me. I felt so miserable. I mean, I knew that I could kick the ball. I knew I could catch the ball. I might not be a star, but I mean, for goodness sake, I'm 9 years old. Give me a chance. Nobody wanted to give me a chance. Because it's like, Howard, Richard, and they're teaming up. Note to self, if you ever are in a responsibility to set up a game, not always a good plan to let the kids pick teams, okay? That is just an invitation to cruelty and misunderstanding. But I digress. You've been chosen. Usually when we hear that on a sales call, it's an introduction to something bad, you know. You've been chosen to win a vacation to the Bahamas, which translated means give us all your personal information and we will steal everything that's in your account. But guess what? This is not a ripoff. This is not a scam. This is the real deal. You have been chosen by God. God, who knows everything about you, chose you. God, who not only knows your past, but God who knows your future, chose you. He chose you. You are a chosen people. That's really good news. That's really good news if you believe it. It is true. God chose you. You're a royal priesthood. Last time I mentioned, just think about it, we've already been told we're a holy priesthood, now we're being told we're a royal priesthood. Royalty. I always knew I was special. No, you've been adopted into the family and given royal status. Royalty. That means you're destined to rule. Did you know the Bible says that those who are in Christ Jesus will govern? So do I have to run for office? No. God is going to put you in positions of responsibility, and as you exercise that responsibility well, He'll give you more responsibility. And that will not just be true in this life, it will be true in eternity. We're going to judge angels, the Bible says. We're going to rule over celestial beings. Amazing. But that's the promise of God. We're a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Now, who was he writing this to? Go back and look at the beginning. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. These were people who had been scattered. These were people who, because of persecution, were in new places. They weren't where they grew up. They had been scattered all around. And in the midst of that dispersion, they were not only aliens in those places, more about that in a moment, but they were to live as part of a nation that belonged to God and has been chosen by Him. Their loyalty, therefore, is to their ruler. Who's the ruler? God. Remember, in the kingdom of God, you're not the king. He is. Right? So, these people, and us, if we're in Christ Jesus, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. I would say that less than half the people in this room have to pay their own bills. Okay? Probably less than half the people in this room have to pay their own bills. You don't know what a blessing that is, to have other people paying the bills for you. Someday, I remember when it happened for me. Okay? Someday you will get into a situation you're going to realize if you want something, you have to pay for it. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Okay? There's not somebody else who's going to come along and take care of it. In that time, it is really good to be in a relationship with your Heavenly Father where you know you can depend on Him to take care of you. Okay? I remember when I was in college and I needed a new pair of boots. And I prayed, Lord, I know you love to give good gifts to your children. I will give you all the praise if you'll please help me get a pair of Vosk hiking boots. That is the kind to get. Please, Lord, if you would do that for me, I'm willing to work for them. You know what God did? He gave me a job immediately, the next day, gave me a job that would only last a week where I had to work odd hours, but the amount that I would earn after taxes in that week was exactly what I needed to buy a pair of Vosk hiking boots. Well, isn't that a coincidence? No, no, no. That's the joy of belonging to someone who promises to take care of you. Why didn't he just give you the money? Because he loves me. He loves me. And he knew that it would be better if I worked for it. But God gave me a job the next day where I could earn exactly the amount that it cost to buy the Vosk boots. I'd already priced them. And it was odd hours. The lady said, well, I'm sorry, I don't have any straight shifts I can give you, but if you could work odd hours here and there, I could use you. I said, what hours would they be? Well, let's see, I've got 3 hours on this day, and I've got 4.5 on that day, and I've got... She adds it all up. I said, how much is it after taxes? What would I make? And she told me the amount. It was the exact amount of the Vosk hiking boots. Let me tell you, it's really good to belong to Him. Okay? It's really good to belong to Him. Because all that burden of feeling like, oh, now I've got to take care of everything and I've got... And God says, no, no, no. You're my child now. I'll look after you. You'll be okay. It is a joy to be part of a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Your chief function on this earth is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is the chief end of man. That is your main function. That is your purpose. Why are you here? In order to give praise to God. In order to declare His praises. Who? The one who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Never forget that you were lost once. Never forget that before you knew Christ, you were headed for hell. Never forget that before He changed your heart, your bent was continually toward evil. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. I've been a Christian all my life. Well, then you need to get saved. Okay? Either what the Bible says about the need for conversion is true, or it's not. I'm going to side with Scripture. I'm going to side with the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, you must be born again. You have to be born again. If you simply believe intellectually these things are true, and you never come to the point of recognizing your own sin and your need for the Savior, then you have not yet come to know Him. If you don't know that once you were a slave of the darkness and now things are different, then you need to be saved. And I'm telling you, a huge part of my ministry across the years has been preaching to people who thought they were Christians, who discover the more they hear, oh my goodness, that doesn't describe my life. Well, that doesn't sound like me. Well, if that's what a Christian is, I'm not sure I am one. Well, thanks be to God. If you realize you're lost, then you can be found. But it's really, really hard to lead someone to Christ who thinks they're already a Christian. You understand? And there are tons of people who think that they're Christians who aren't, because their understanding of what it means to be a Christian is somebody who does this and does this and does this and doesn't do this or this. That's not what makes you a Christian. You know what makes you a Christian? Jesus. He's the one who makes the difference. And so the question is, have you come to the point where you realize you need a Savior and you cry out to Him for mercy? Kids who grow up hearing it and it's all so familiar can very easily kind of do the little checklist and say, yeah. Okay, is there anything else I need to do? Without realizing, I can't save myself. I need Him to save me. You know what? If you call on Him, He'll save you. If you cry out to Him for mercy, He'll be merciful to you. But you've got to come to the point of realizing that you need to be saved, or you won't be saved. So, once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Based on that, verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. After you're a Christian, you are out of step with the world. You are an alien and a stranger here. You don't fit in. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and your goal is to be popular, you are barking up the wrong tree. Okay? This is not going to... Well, are you saying that in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I have to be an oddball? Okay. See, part of me wants to say, face it, you're already an oddball. But, you know, you'd be an oddball if you weren't a Christian. But no, I want you to understand the goal is to please Him. By definition, that puts you at odds with the world. It just does. The world is on a broad road that's headed for destruction. If you're not headed for destruction, you're going against traffic. It will always be that way. You cannot follow Jesus and be the friend of the world. You can't. It's impossible. They're going that way, you're not. So if your goal is to fit in with them and go with the flow and be one of the gang, and not, you're headed for destruction. But if you realize this road leads to destruction, God have mercy on me, save me, and He does, you will inevitably find yourself over and over like a stranger and an alien in this world headed against traffic. Is that clear? I hope so. Because let me tell you, it's not a bad thing. You got to remember where that's heading. I mean, but you're saying that I'll always be different? Yes, You'll always be different. But different from what? I just spent last week with someone that I care about going to see cancer doctors. And so I'm surrounded day after day with people who have cancer. Not once during that entire week did I sit there and think, gosh, I don't have cancer. Wish I had cancer. I'd like to fit in. No! I'm very thankful I don't have cancer. You understand? I don't want to try and fit in. Yes, me too. I start chemo next week. No! That's not what I want. Got it? The world is headed for hell. You want to join them? Is that what you want? Is that what you desire? That'll destroy you. So if you follow Jesus Christ, you will be a stranger and an alien in this world, and the world's going to look at you like you're not one of us. And you know what? They're right. They're right. Don't fight it. Don't say, oh, but you know, I can do cancer. No. Don't pretend. Well, so are we supposed to sit there and feel like, I don't have cancer? Of course not. We have compassion on people who are headed in the wrong direction, and we try and help them learn how to go in the other direction by trusting in Jesus Christ. The goal of all those cancer facilities is to try and stop the cancer in people. Okay? It's not to celebrate cancer. And you and I need to realize that our relationships with people who don't know Christ are supposed to be filled with His love and His grace and His compassion, because once we were in the same situation. We're not looking at those people as if they're our inferiors. We are looking at them as people who need to know the love of Christ. So, as strangers and aliens in the world, I urge you to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. How many of you who are Christians have ever experienced a desire to do something that you knew was wrong? Yeah. Okay? I mean, we know it's wrong. We know we shouldn't. So why do we have those desires? Because we still have a sin nature that we need to die to daily. And one of the things that will help you to experience victory is if you understand that those desires, those sinful desires, are waging war against your soul. Okay? In other words, unmask your enemy. Over the weekend, I went to the memorial service for a precious friend who was almost 93 years old when he passed away. And he was a great guy. We will probably use a previous interview with him on our radio broadcast this Memorial Day. And the reason is because he's the best guest we've ever had on for our Memorial Day show. He was part of the landing at Normandy back during World War II. If you don't know what that is, ask a mentor or teacher to explain it, and they'll be glad to fill you in, I trust. When Allied troops landed at Normandy, the life expectancy for a guy like my friend, who was, I think, 20 years old, carrying a machine gun, life expectancy was 7 minutes. He had 7 minutes to live. That was it. People all around him were going down, being shot. If you made it for 7 minutes, you'd made it for another minute. It was really tough, and he prayed all the way out of the water up onto the beach. God, let me get out of the water. Jesus, please, let me get out of the water. Jesus, please, let me get out of the water. And he made it up onto the beach and he prayed, Jesus, please get me off of this beach. Jesus, please get me off of this beach. And he made it to the hill and he prayed, Jesus, please help me get up this hill. Jesus, please help me get up this hill. And he made it up the hill and he prayed, Jesus, please get me across this field. He prayed his way across Europe. He got 4 purple hearts, numerous bronze stars. Tremendous war hero, went back for the 50th anniversary of the Normandy landing. A hero. But let me tell you something. It was absolutely vital to his survival that he know the difference between his allies and his enemies. Those sinful desires, they're not your friends. Those thoughts, I want to do this, I want to do that, that's a desire that is waging war against your soul. It's trying to take you out. It wants to destroy you. And if you realize that, this desire I'm having is trying to kill me, then it makes it a little easier to say no. Why do I want to do that thing? Why do I want to go there, say that? Why do I want that? Because you have an enemy. You have an enemy. And he will fuel those sinful desires so that you're drawn towards stuff that is destructive. It's destructive. It's out to kill you. People do bad things, and even when their body tells them, this is bad for you. What's the message there? Poison. The stuff you just inhaled? Poison. Your body is designed to expel that. Well, I'm going to keep inhaling it until I overcome my body's defenses. Oh, there's a plan. I mean, it'll work. You can make your body so damaged that your body's no longer able to fight back against the poison. And it just takes it in. You really want to do that? Say no to evil desires that wage war against your soul. These desires are out not just to attack your body, they're out to attack you. Abstain from them. They're waging war against your soul. Well, if I'm a Christian, why do I still have those desires? Because you're human. You're human. And it should be no shock to you that you still desire to do things that are wrong. And let me just tell you something. The fact that you have a desire doesn't make it okay. Well, I think God made me this way, and so I just need to do, you know, what I desire. No, I desire sometimes to punch people in the face. It would not be good if I just, well, you know, I'm a Viking, half Norwegian. God made me to be a warrior, and I just think it's part of who I am. People need to accept the fact that if they get around me, they're liable to get punched. Okay? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, it's who I am. It's the way I was made. No. I need to live a holy life. I have to say no to sinful desires just like you. Every one of us, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ and live as an alien and stranger in this world, we have to say no, not just to temptation out there, but to temptation in here. Okay? It's not just, well, you know, those people out there, they do bad stuff. I'm afraid they might lead me astray. Well, they might, but you know, without them, you'd probably have a tendency to go astray yourself, wouldn't you? Well, I think it was the bad influence of all those corrupting people. Well, I think maybe you were one of the ones who was corrupting them. You know? It's not always the other person. You have sinful desires. Abstain from them. And guess what? You're to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. We are to live with an eye toward the future, knowing that one day we're going to stand before God and give an account to Him for what we've done. And the people who made fun of us, the people who said how hateful we were and how exclusive we were and holier than thou we were, those people in that day are going to have to say, you're right, I saw. I saw. You are to live such a good life among the pagans. Is it okay to call them pagans? I thought pagans was like people who worship demons. Yeah, it is. And behind the idol, there's a demon. So, well, I mean, some of these people are not religious at all. Oh, yes, they are. Everybody is religious. Everybody is religious. You may worship football. You may worship money. You may worship a rock star. Could you believe the adulation when Prince died? Sportscasters devoting the sports broadcast to a tribute to Prince. What? What team did he play on? And that was not a pun. Now it is, but... But I mean, people acted as if Michael Jackson had died or something. I mean, let me just tell you something. Everybody, everywhere is religious. They just don't all have the same religion. So it's legitimate when God, through the Holy Spirit speaking in the Apostle Peter, refers to the other folks out there as pagans. Because ultimately, that's what everybody comes down to if you don't know Jesus. Okay? So do we use that as a derogatory term? We say, pagan? No. It's just intended to be a description of the other guys. Okay? They're pagans. They don't know God. They worship something less than God as God, even if it's money. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being money. Okay? Some people worship pleasure. Some people worship security. Every decision in life is about whether or not this is risky. Let me tell you, if you worship anything other than God, God alone, you're veering into paganism. So live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Does that mean I'm supposed to do my good deeds with an eye toward being seen by others and approved by them? No. It means that if you will live the kind of life that God calls you to live, inevitably people will notice that you're not laughing at the same things they're laughing at, going to the same places they're going to, doing the same stuff they're doing. They will notice that. And let me tell you, some of them will be critical. Some of them will accuse you of doing wrong by not joining in. If you have never experienced that, I can tell you right now, it is not fun. But I'll tell you, it sure beats joining in. Because those desires wage war against your soul. And you will end up badly wounded if you give in to the pressure of the pagan peers. Don't do it. Live for Jesus. Live as an alien and stranger in this world. And realize it's okay. I'm part of God's chosen people. I'm part of His royal priesthood. And the reason I'm here is to declare His praises. He's the one who called me out of darkness into light. Let's pray. Father, you have called us out of darkness into light. You have delivered us through the power of your Spirit. And so we thank you that we no longer have to be slaves to darkness, slaves to sinful desires, slaves to this world. We pray that you would help us this day to declare your praises. Whatever we're going through, whatever our circumstances, our focus would be on you, and we would rejoice in the fact that you have made us your own. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.